going to look at God's word, and we're going to look at, it's a very, very short word, because there's lots of things we want to get in today. We are going through the book of Joshua. We have sent the notes to you so you can look through them. We are not going to go anywhere near in the detail that you have in your notes, but I want to encourage you to please go through the notes. I'm just going to highlight a few things because we've only got a few minutes. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you that you're a God who feeds his children. You tell us, you instruct us to move from a place where we just want to go along with the milk to actually having solid food. So, Father, would we be those who are receptive to the solid food that you want us to give us today? In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who listened last week, you heard about Joshua chapter 3 and 4, and they were looking at lots of different things which Pastor Abigail was talking about. So I'm just going to very quickly, oh yeah, the title is Beyond the Sea and Walls, Borders of Possibilities. And the challenge that I have for you today, I felt very strongly for us, was that how do we look at borders? Usually, when you think about a border, you think that as being a position, a place where we stop. But I want to challenge you today to think about borders as a being a place of opportunities. Ricky gave a testimony where his lifestyle became a barrier to him. His past became a barrier to him. But when he gave his life to Christ, God used it as an opportunity. And I want to encourage you, as we go through this chapter, to look at the borders in your life as opportunities in Christ. In chapter, if we can have the first one up, the recap is chapter 4 was all about the consecrating themselves and crossing over. So they crossed over, crossing over to the Jordan. Chapter 5 talks about circumcision and putting the old to death. Chapter 6 talks about obedience, bringing the walls down. Rahab and her family are saved. And chapter 5 and 6 actually need to be read together. So I've said this many, many times. The Bible is split and structured in a way to make it easier for us to read. Now, this is really important for us as Christians. The way the Bible has been split up into chapters and verses has been done for our benefit. And it's helpful. But it isn't necessarily always done in a way that makes sense. So when you read chapter 5, you see God come and speak to Joshua. And then that's the end of the chapter. And then you go to chapter 6 and it looks like it's another scenario, but it's not. So when you read that story, you need to read chapter 5 and 6 together. And I'd encourage you to always do that when you read the Bible. When you read the Bible, read the verses before and the verses afterwards, because very often it's never just isolated like that. I had a very interesting debate with somebody when we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And I was speaking at a church and I said, and afterwards we'll say the Lord's Prayer because that's what they do. So we say the Lord's Prayer. And I said, oh, don't forget to add the bit about forgive us our sins. No, we don't do that bit. We just say that. And I said, yes, we're also going to say that. If we're saying the Lord's Prayer, we're also doing that bit. And they said, no, but that's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is this. And I said, the Lord's Prayer includes this. And we are going to say those verses. And this went back and forth. But obviously, I was speaking and, you know, I could. Do you want me to come or not? It's your choice. So we did say it, but they actually felt very, very uncomfortable. Now, why would you feel uncomfortable about that? Why would you feel uncomfortable about reading the verses afterwards? It's important that we don't just pick scriptures out of the Bible that look nice and fit with what we want to do. And that's why the Old Testament is so important for us. Jesus came. As he said, he fulfills it. It's like the Old Testament is all this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful food. And then Jesus comes and says, and now I'm going to add a little bit of salt here and a little bit of hot pepper here, and I'm going to add a bit. He doesn't take anything out of the Old Testament. The Old Testament all stands. So when we read the Old Testament, we must read it. When we read the New Testament, we must read it and think about how does this reflect on the Old Testament and how does this apply to my life now? So that's what we're going to be doing now. I did really, really want to go through those first few chapters, but we're not going to be able to have time to do that. But there was something that happened to Joshua. So as we know in the story, Joshua comes after Moses. And what is interesting is exactly the same situation happened with Moses as it did with Joshua. Moses parts the Red Sea and Joshua comes and parts the and God says to Joshua, so that people can see, this is the man of God. You know, somebody else comes and you think, they're never going to fill their shoes. There's no way no one can fill Moses' shoes. You know, Moses did this and he did this. And then God brings Joshua, and Joshua comes, and he comes and is part of this incredible miracle where, again, the sea is parted, this river is parted. Salvation is a really good parallel of this. It's a reminder to us that even when God puts us in situations that look strange, that this isn't how it's supposed to be. We're in that situation right now. We had a great, incredible pastor, bishop, nobody like him. And then we find ourselves in a situation where that person's physical presence is no longer here. But God still says he has supplied for us. He has provided for us. And his plan is continuous. God's plan doesn't stop because he changes people and removes them. That's not how God works. God has a purpose. Chapter 5 of Joshua talks about how Joshua makes a way. He does something incredible. And I want to encourage us again, the next slide please, not to... God has a way of making things, and we need to be careful that we don't glamorize the Bible. It can all look really lovely when we read stories, because when we're reading the Bible, we read the whole story. So we can see, oh, okay, that's how it started out, but that's how it ended. So this is all good. Just think about circumcision for a minute. I know some of you guys might start twitching a little bit. Circumcision is not a nice thing. And... I was in the car with somebody coming from the hospital who had been circumcised, and it was not a nice experience. In fact, I was bawling my eyes out, feeling their pain, and it didn't even happen to me. It was not a good experience. Circumcision is not a nice thing. And God says to Joshua, I want you to circumcise all the men. Now listen, let's not be glamorous about this. There's no nice sharp knife that he gets from Harrods or John Lewis, and God tells him to take flint. Have you seen flint? Have you sharpened flint? Believe me, it's not like that nice knife that you've got at home. So Joshua takes the flint and he sharpens the knife, and we're not talking about 10, 20, 30, 100. They worked it out and they said there were millions. There were so many men that had to be circumcised, men and boys. That's not glamorous. That's pretty gory. And after the circumcision, they were told to cross over. Now, there's a similar situation that happened in the Old Testament where the same thing happened. The people were circumcised. And actually what happened is that when the other army got wind of what had happened, they knew this is a good time to strike because those men aren't going anywhere. And actually the men were wiped out because they couldn't fight in that. They needed days to recover. But God intervened in this situation. And what the Bible says is, the Bible says that the people of that in Jericho were filled with fear. Because they were filled with fear, they didn't go and fight. Actually, that would have been an ideal opportunity to go. Because the men with Joshua couldn't have done anything. But God had filled them with fear. You see, when God tells you to do something, he prepares the land for you. He prepares the way. So there you are, what about this, Lord? And if we go there, what about this? And God says, one minute, why would I tell you to do that if I haven't already organized it? And the people get to the river and they say, hold on, wait a minute. You have told us to cross at the worst time. If you go to that river, actually, there are three different times that river has three different levels. And the time that they went there was when it was at its highest and most fierce. There are times when it's so low that you can kind of get in it, children can go in it. It's not completely safe, but it's okay. And actually, they go at the time that it's the most fierce. That's God. That is typical God. Because God says, who are you trusting? Are you trusting in your ability to make this happen, or are you trusting in me? So God sends them at the fierce, most fierce time, and they have to cross that river. They have to go across to get to the other side. God is telling some of us that it's time for us to cross to the other side. Look at the person next to you and say, it's time to cross to the other side. They have to cross to the other side. But there was something that happened to them before they crossed over. They needed to be circumcised. Circumcision is not glamorous, it's painful. Some of us, all of us, need circumcision. We all need to be circumcised. We all need to be in a place where we consecrate ourselves to the Lord and we say, Father, I want to strip back everything that is in the way so that I am able to walk right with you. They go into this land, and actually what had happened was God said, you were circumcised in Egypt, you were my people, but actually what you've done is you have brought all of that with you in your journey, and therefore you're no longer consecrated before me. Do you know that when we get saved, you don't eat the food that you ate when you were unsaved? I used to love going clubbing. I used to love it. I love the music. A group of us used to go to the fridge bar, and we loved it. We wouldn't be doing anything dodgy because we were Christians. Anyone came close, we gave them the gospel. We'd invite them to church. It was all very straight up. And I loved the fridge bar. I loved the music. We used to come out. We used to go home, hang our clothes outside because, you know, they used to smoke inside. It was horrible. Hang our clothes outside, and we'd get up ready for church. No messing. It was great. And then suddenly the music changed. They were talking about what guys should do to women, and it all just got really nasty. And I remember my friends and I, we were there, and we thought, we can't do this. It doesn't sit right with us. This music is no longer about having a good time and dance. This music is now about how people should be treating each other, and it's not okay. And we had to stop going. The food that you ate when you were unsaved should not be the food that you are eating now. They don't sit together. And that's what happened to them. They were relying on the manna. This is good. We're being really looked after well. We're being fed like babies. This is great. And God said, now it's time to cross over. That's not going to happen anymore. They had to move from eating that, trusting God to just drop it out of the sky. I remember when I first got saved, I just, Lord, what should I do about this? Open the Bible. Wow, there's my answer. That happened to me all the time. All the time. Didn't know what to do. Open the Bible. Wow. Does that happen now? Praying, fasting, walking, praying, fasting. I can't hear you, Lord. I can't hear you, Lord. It's tough. It is tough. Really tough. That's what happens when you're an adult. Look how a baby is looked after. They're fed, they cry, they want their nappy changed. The Bible says that we come as babies, we don't stay as babies. And I've been talking to people and I think, you're still a baby. But God has got something for us. You cannot cross over if you're going to stay in that position of uncircumcision. We need to be circumcised. Next one, please. Thank you. The people were going to cross over. It was nothing to do with the walls. It was all about the power of God. I'd encourage you to look at the power of numbers. Number 7 is about perfection, as we see in creation. It all talks about that sacrifice and God making things work and God working things out. What position are you in? It says that it's the difference between mere survival and productive living. You see, if you are staying as a baby in Christ, you are merely living. But actually what God says is, I'm taking you into the promised land so that you live a life productively. I want to read something to you. This was a dream that somebody had. Bob is an old surfer dude. So there is no place better for him than the beach, breathing in that salty air. So not surprisingly, the vision that he had was of him walking along on a completely empty and pristine beach. One day, when he happened upon a large picnic table, spread out upon its white tablecloth was a host of food, vegetables, and great quality things, more than he had ever seen before. It was an endless bounty, but there was no one there. Not one person was sitting at the table eating of the delicious food. Bob said a feeling of immense sadness came over him, anguish, and he started crying uncontrollably in the dream. What was so incredible and beautiful and available for the taking suddenly seemed so depressing because it was all going to waste. So Bob asked the Lord, who was walking along with him, "Why? Where are the people for this feast? Why are they not here, Lord?" The Lord said to Bob, "I provided it for my people." And then instructed Bob to approach the table and lift up the tablecloth and look underneath. And lo and behold, when he looked underneath, all the Christians were sitting under the table. There was a huge number of them sitting below, and they were all scooping up the sand with their hands, pressing it to their mouths and saying, isn't this wonderful? Isn't it delicious? And Bob asked them why they sat underneath the table eating sand when they could but look up and partake of the bountiful feast that God had prepared for them right above their heads. And they all answered, "Yes, we know, but we're satisfied with what we have." What a challenging message that is. It is easy for us to stay as babies, to stay home, to be comfortable, to not have the conversation with somebody, to not reach out. But that's not what God has called us to do. He has called us to cross over and to go into the land and to approach those borders that look so high and so unobtainable and say, "My God is Jehovah. My God is King, and he will take me into the promised land. And I'm not going to continue as a baby. I am going to mature and be as God wants me to be." God has called us to step into the promised land, and he has called us to take hold of it. And he's called us, see how easy it is for us to just continue to eat the sand and say, this is good. But we'll stay like that. We won't grow. And so I want to challenge us as a church to also think about where we are. Where do you sit today? Are you somebody like Rahab? The Bible says that Rahab was outside the camp. She was rescued. All of those people were slaughtered. Everybody was burnt. Everything was gone in Jericho except Rahab. But she was outside the camp. And there came a day when she was moved into the camp. It's easy. I've met so many people in the last few weeks who are Christians, but they're outside the camp. They're not in the camp. And they're doing okay, mulling along. Maybe they pray occasionally, might tap into the odd thing here and there. But very clearly, they're outside the camp. And I believe that God is saying to us as a church, maybe he's saying that not just to us as a church, maybe this is a universal thing, that we need to move inside the camp. We need to move from the baby food to the solids. God did not tell us to stay as babies. God didn't tell us to enjoy the sand. He told us to rise up and eat the food that he's got for us. So I'm going to pray for different groups of people. I want to pray for you if you don't know Christ at all and you want to give your life to Christ. Because what happened in Jericho is that nobody was saved except Rahab. And you know that's going to happen again. The trumpet will sound and Jesus will come back. And if you're not saved, you're not saved. So I want to pray for you if you want to give your life to Christ, and I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm also going to pray for those of you who recognize that, yes, I am somebody who actually has just sat on the edge of the camp, and I've got a bit comfortable and cozy, but I want to move inside. I want to enter the promised land. I want to take everything that God has for me. You see, we have a culture that says, when I get saved, Lord, bless me. Lord, provide for me. Lord, would you make sure I get a husband or a wife? Lord, would you... Do you know this? I can't find the biblical principle for that. The reason we are here as a body is to serve. So our prayer should be, Lord, who do you want me to speak to? Lord, who can I bless? Lord, who can I encourage? Who shall I pray for today, Lord? Lord, who shall I go and... That should be our prayer. Something has to shift. And my prayer is that something shifts in us today. So first of all, I'm going to pray for those who want to give their life to Christ. If you cannot say, if that trumpet sounded like it did on the walls of Jericho, and you were not, you know that that is not going to be you. You're not going to be the one who enters that camp. Then if you want that, if you want Jesus in your life, then please stand. And I'm going to pray for you first. So let's just have our heads down. And if that's you and you want to ask Jesus into your life, then please stand and I'm going to pray for you. It won't take long because there's loads more things that we want to do today. Great, okay. If you want to shift from being in that baby place to being eating solid food, then I want to pray for you. If you know that you've been in a position where being outside the camp and you want to move inside the camp, then again, I'm going to ask you to stand now. Our heads are bowed and this is about you and God. And if that's you, then stand. Respond to what God is saying to you right now. And let's just respond to his voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to pray for those people at home and those who are here right now who have recognized, Father, that they've lived a life outside the camp. They have walked the walk and done the talk, but they recognize, Lord, that they haven't lived in the fullness of what you have for them. I pray right now, Lord, that you would open the windows of heaven and that, Lord, as they rise up, as they move in their position, the Israelites had to position themselves in a place of consecration and standing up, stepping in the water to see it part. Lord, I pray right now for every single person online and here who is saying, that's me, Jesus, and I don't want that trumpet that sounds and leaves me behind. I just declare in Jesus' name that, Father, these hungry children of God will come into adulthood, that they would move, run into adulthood and live for you. Father, you are a God who keeps his promises. So as they are standing now, Father, fulfill the promise of what you have said, that, Lord, they will enjoy the fullness of all that you have for them, Lord, because it's your gift to them. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Let's give an offering to the Lord. Let's give him a shout. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory.